What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita and Brooke Strzok Show.
Hey, everyone. Good to see you again.
Great to have you back, Brooke. Can you believe that we only have 2 weeks left of these podcasts after this week?
I know, it's sad. It's gone by so quick, and I've had so much fun getting to do this, getting to talk with some of the players from this season and hear comments from the fans and stuff. It's been great.
Yeah, it's cool that you've, like, it's been really fun to have you be a part of this and kind of get back with some of this reality TV stuff. But you've also never left. You've been attending these events for so long, so.
Yes, but mostly I've stayed in my Survivor bubble. So, I mean, you meet a lot of people from, like, you know, Big Brother, Amazing Race, at this stuff. Like, but it's great to, you know, watch another reality show and get involved.
Episode 10. We're at crunch time now. Deal or No Deal Island. We are going to break down this episode. Lots going on the podcast this week. I just had my exit interview with Aaron, which aired yesterday. This episode here is running on either Wednesday or Thursday. And then the exit interview was out Tuesday. It's booming. People love Aaron. So that's been very interesting. And then later in the week, we're going to have another edition of Deal or No Deal Island to Insiders with Miranda. And this week, Nick will join us. So you guys are all going to make sure that you're subscribed if you've been enjoying the Deal or No Deal Island coverage. Hit subscribe. I think about 80% of our viewers are not subscribed. So what are you doing? Hit subscribe. Turn on those notifications. You won't miss an episode. All right, Brooke. This was a pretty shocking outcome, wasn't it?
This was, like, I feel like one of the most pivotal episodes. It seems like from the start you've had Aaron as kind of like somebody that people thought of as kind of a fan favorite and a front runner. And then you saw him fade out a little bit, but I don't know. I thought he was going to make it a little bit longer. And geez, the ending of it was so, you know, it's just this 50-50. Did he, you know, was he going to get it or not? So it's sad. I'm sad Aaron's gone. I enjoyed watching him.
I think I was most surprised because last week I really thought that they were setting this up for the Rob and Stephanie battle. The battle endures. It keeps going. They keep hinting at it. They're laying the groundwork for that. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next episode. But I did not, going into the episode, I guess the only reason why I thought Aaron could go was because of the promo. Anytime that they're doing these promos, you're showing somebody crying. A lot of time it's a misdirect. So, like, when they make it look like Aaron's going to take out Rob in a promo, typically it's not that easy. That's not what happened here.
Yeah, no, it's and the episode was, are you powerful? And it's kind of ironic because I feel like in the last few episodes, we've seen Aaron kind of lose his power and, like, lose his ability to really be on top of his best game.
So I should also mention, I forgot to mention it here at the start of the show, we have a special guest joining us in a few minutes. It is Mr. Bergy from Love Island Season 5 and Season 2 of The Traitors. So he's been loving Deal or No Deal Island. Be real fun to get his thoughts. We'll bring him in a few minutes. But Brooke and I are going to just kind of share some immediate thoughts, reactions to the episode. Brooke, can you explain the excursion? I feel like I'm not very good at explaining these things. Last week, I think I got something wrong. People were commenting and telling me I did something wrong. What did you think of this excursion?
Oh, gosh, now the pressure's on that I got to get it right. I've had a long day of work before now, so give me some grace if I don't get it right. But basically, they had it was the jet skis out to the suitcases, and then you have the dilemma of, hey, the higher value suitcase you get, the less marbles you get to vote on who's going up against the banker. And no one was safe this time. There's no immunity. So good synopsis.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So something happens here where once again, this friction between Rob and Aaron is brewing. And I'm going to say this. I want to give Aaron a lot of credit because I think what happened here, I think Aaron played Rob a little bit because I think Rob thought that Aaron was going to be his minion, and Aaron used that word in our exit interview today. And Rob thought, I can get this guy to do whatever. He's my loyal soldier. And we saw several times that Aaron held his ground. There was a time in the, I think it was episode 4, Excursion, where they're talking and they're about to go out on the boats, and Aaron's just like, no, I'm not going to like let you win. Come on. Like, what are you talking about? And then he bluffs him, and Rob's like surprised that he bluffs him. And I think that we saw this once again in this episode where Rob is saying like, so he wanted Aaron to put all the balls on him so he could get the most amount of balls. And then he was hoping that, and then he was going to give the second amount to Aaron himself, because that way they could be in the bottom two. One of them's going to play. It guarantees that at the very least they get a chance to preserve their safety, because nobody's safe. The person who finishes at the top does not get immunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a valid strategy. And I had the same thought as you. We saw in the earlier episode where Rob was like trying to have Aaron let him win. And Aaron's like, no, that's not how this is going to go. And so, and then you had the episode too, where with the walkie talkies and Aaron screws it up. That I think was legitimately Aaron just screwing up. I don't think that was being strategic or anything, but then this time, and that's what I loved about this episode, is because I'm like, is this when Aaron turns on Rob? And when you see them doing the excursion, that's the first time you're like, this doesn't seem to be an accident. I think this is Aaron trying to make it seem like, oh, hey, Rob, this was just my logic. I wasn't really misunderstanding you, or like, but obviously I think you could tell Rob was like, oh man, now I don't know that Aaron's on my side. You know, it was getting suspicious. But what's funny is, by not giving Rob all the marbles, Rob didn't have to go up against the banker. And we saw the person who went against the banker lost. So had Rob, like, you know, who knows how it would have played out. If Rob had gone, he could have gone home, you know? So yeah. Rob kind of skirted it again by not having to go against the banker.
Yeah. And Aaron made the move that I think most people would. It was like a 66% chance that he gets a good deal. It was a 2 in 3 chance that it's a good deal, a 1 in 3 chance that it's a bad deal. Unfortunately, you know, probability is probability. You can't, it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, no. And I said that wrong at the start. I said 50-50 chance, but you're right. It was, he had two suitcase. It was 2 versus 1. And so, yeah, he had the 2/3 chance he was right. And so went home.
For the second straight week, should have hung on to the case. The case was if you hung on the case, that was the highest value. So interesting to see how that plays out. Now, Aaron did say in his exit press today, and I know Bergie has some thoughts on this, so we'll bring it up again in a few minutes when we bring Bergie in. But Aaron said that he was going to most likely get Stephanie out. So this was, if what Aaron said is, if that's truly what he was thinking at the time, Stephanie goes home, and if he wins, him and Rob and Jordan are in the final four. It looks like Amy goes out next.
Yeah. It's funny. I really wanted to hear your exit interview to know what Aaron said, because as soon as the episode was over, I was like, oh, I wish you could have known. It's funny, in Survivor, you have the exit interviews as on the episode. As soon as you walk out, there's a camera in your face. Like, what do you want to say? And so it's hard, because on Deal or No Deal Island, we don't get that to know, you know, who they would have picked right then and there in that moment.
Now, I want to ask you this, Brooke. Do you think, actually, you know what? Let's save this question for Bergie. What else should we tackle here before we get to Bergie?
Ooh. I thought it was interesting. You see Amy kind of distance herself from Stephanie. That was one of the things that I thought was interesting, is that she, I think it's one where Amy sees how everyone else is reacting to Stephanie, and it's kind of like, oh, I have to pick sides. And then she's starting to shift too, and trying to like cut her losses and figure out a way to save herself and not be aligned with Stephanie, now that Stephanie's kind of turning into the pariah from the way everybody's, you know, come at her.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because what happened, and Aaron mentioned this in the exit interview also, was that he basically got his hand caught in the cookie jar when he did not play that game for Rob. He said he was playing the middle. He did have a deal with Amy. He had a deal with Jordan. And I don't think at that point he had a deal with Stephanie, but Amy certainly had a deal with Aaron. And then she makes a deal with Rob. And I thought that scene was very interesting, because Rob does his Boston Rob thing. And he's like, oh, both of you are lying to me.
Yeah, you know, it's like that mafia intimidation kind of thing. So, yep.
All right. Well, at this time, we're going to bring in our special guest once again from season 5 of Love Island and now hot off the Traitors. It is Mr. Karsten Bergie Bergerson. Bergie, welcome to the show.
Yes, welcome, Bergie.
It's great to have you here, Bergie. First things first, what is it about Deal or No Deal Island? Like, I know you've been really getting into it. What got you hooked?
I think there's so many different ways to play the game, and it's just like, how do you get into it? Like, Survivor, there's ways to play Survivor. It's like, oh, I can go for immunity every week. And that might not be something you want to do. Like, you have to work on your social game and, like, the immunity challenges. It's not like, oh, if I get it, I'm safe the next week. Like, you have to think, like, do I want to play pretend? Like, maybe I'm not as good as people want me to think. So, like, you're laying low like Jordan is. Like, she's not going for, like, the high cases where she has immunity, but she's not, you know, being at the bottom either. Like, you want to be somewhere in the middle. And I think that's what I like about the game, because you can play it so many different ways. Like, you could try to win immunity every week, or you could try to be in the middle every week, or you could try to be at the bottom too. There's so many different ways to put yourself, to position yourself in a different way.
How would you play it?
You know, I would love to say I'd like to play it like Jordan, because she just floated under the radar. Like, you obviously, in the beginning, I feel like of any game, the strategy is not to play hard. Don't do over strategizing, because then you're a threat to everybody and everybody wants you out. So if you become a threat to everybody, then, you know, your game's over. You're not going to make it to the end, even if you try to win immunity every week, because you're a threat to everybody. So the best way to start the game is just don't do anything. Let someone else screw up, because someone is bound to screw up in the very beginning. They're going to try too hard, or they're going to try too little. So just lay back, let somebody else screw up. And then when you get to the middle of the game, that's when you got to start deciding, am I going for immunity if I'm the target, or am I want to be at the bottom too so I can eliminate someone else and then cause a effect down the line?
Brooke, who knew this guy from Love Island was such a gamer?
I know. I was going to say, so what was your approach then going into Traitors? Did you decide in advance which of these types of strategies you would do?
So, yeah. So I played like a lot of Among Us because I was like a nerd in college.
Oh, yep.
Games too. So, but I also played college football. So I was competitive, but like still knew how to play this game. And the best way, obviously, to play Traitors is how Sandra played it, is just try to get to the end. And that was my original strategy, because I just came off of Love Island. They asked me to go do Traitors. And I was like, okay, so I need to lay low and, you know, I need to have some suspicion on me, but I can't have too much suspicion. Otherwise, I'll get banished. And if I don't have suspicion on me, the Traitors are going to murder me, because then there's no point of me being here. So I was thinking of that strategy going into it. But right before I went to Traitors, in between Love Island and Traitors, I had like Reddit threads about me about being an idiot, like just naive. And I hated seeing that. So my game changed right before I went to Scotland, because I was reading all those hate comments about me. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go play like the best faithful game I can play, hopefully get some traitors out. That way people see me as a smart kid instead of this naive, dumb kid from Love Island. So if I was playing for myself, I definitely would have done the get some suspicion on me, but not too much suspicion, and make it to the end. But I was playing the let's make myself look smart up for TV purposes.
You got to avenge your name.
Yeah, I had to avenge myself. And I really wish I didn't, because it's like I didn't have to prove anything to anybody. But like that's where my mindset was at that moment in time.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I mean, the comments, like, you know, when you read that stuff, it does leave an impression on you and things. And so it's hard. And I'm sure, like, you know, I know Stephanie's feeling that from things and from the show, and that could be hard. So,
yeah. And like for Stephanie, she's been entertaining to watch this whole season. If she wasn't in this season, it would be way less entertaining to watch.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is people kind of have to feel like there's, you know, they want to have like who they think is the good guy and who they think is the bad guy. And people have their different, you know, good guys, bad guys on a season and stuff. But that's what makes a show. If you don't feel passionate, like really passionately for or against a player, then, you know, it's not interesting.
Yeah, because she could be like the David or the Goliath. Like, you know, Boston Rob is Goliath and Stephanie is David, and she's got to take out David. So people are have to be rooting for Stephanie a little bit. Like, there's got to be a crowd for Stephanie. Like, I think she's absolutely entertaining. But I also love Boston Rob. So I just love seeing them go head to head each week. And obviously people are biased towards Boston Rob, and maybe the edit is a little bit too. So yeah. Like, people are like more against Stephanie than they are Rob. But for someone like me that has watched Survivor and like knows how good Boston Rob can be, it's fun to see someone try to take him down.
Yeah, no, but Boston Rob, I mean, he makes the show, and he's done like his commentary on things, and he's just been really good at this and been fun to watch. And this is why I was so sad to see Kim go at the start. She was so entertaining and you know, she caused like people to, you know, she stirred the pot, and that was what was really fun to watch with her and stuff. So yeah, I always hate it when the people, it's like I would watch Bachelor and Bachelorette with my girlfriends, and there's always someone who's like very dysfunctional, and you're like, that would be the worst person to end up at the end, but then you root for them to stay in because you're like, this is great TV. If they're gone, like, so
yeah, entertain, because like, imagine if Stephanie left weeks ago, like, what would we be watching the show? Just Boston Rob dominating over everybody? Like, Stephanie being there is like so entertaining. It's like, we got the villain, we got another villain, and they're going ahead. Another thing with Traitors doing an all-star cast, like, you know, when they do like the beach huts or when they're talking to the camera, explaining things going on in the show. I came off of Love Island and I was like, wow. And then I came to Traitors and I was like, wow, the way these celebrities do their interviews and it can explain things going on in the show is amazing compared to what I was doing on Love Island. It's like, I need to get better at explaining things happening in the show so I can get more beach shots. Cause like CT explaining like the little details in the challenge that I would never think to speak about. Like, he was going in detail. I was just like, wow, that's talent right there.
Yeah. That's something. Go ahead.
Bergie, I was curious. You mentioned that like all these people are seasoned vets with TV. So were you able to notice when people would be like, ooh, I'm going to start a fight with somebody, or I'm going to ham and do this thing for the cameras because I want to be on TV?
So I think people did a lot of defending their own shows. So anytime someone went at the Housewives and Phaedra and Sheree were in the same room, they would defend the hell out of Housewives. And, you know, they would build up and it would be like a throw on fight going on in one room, and you'd be like, okay, I'm just gonna take a step out, you guys can figure that out on your own. And there's a lot of moments like that, and I think people know their character as well.
It does. You notice a difference with people the first time you're on a reality show. You're just so in the moment, it's new to you, you're trying to get your footing, you're trying to figure out where you fit in and how you do this stuff. But once someone's been on one reality show, it's like they're a pro and they know what to say to get the attention, to, you know, to make it more entertaining for people. You kind of step out of yourself and play to the camera and play to the audience more. And so, yeah, it's like you said, when you have an all-star season, it's so different than when you just have all newbies that don't know, you know, what they're doing on that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think people know their character. They know who they are themselves and who they are on camera. And they know how to be on camera, if that makes sense. Because it's still themselves, but it's more of that character on camera, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I remember for me on Survivor getting interviewed one day, and Dani said the same thing kind of happened to her on that day where, you know, they're interviewing me and they're like, who do you hate? And I'm like, I don't hate anyone. I really love people. And they're just like, meh, boring. Like, we're done talking to you. And it's one where I'm like, and I really didn't hate anyone, but at the same time, I should have been more, you know, you realize just speak your feelings and speak your thoughts. And there's no right or wrong. It's just what you think and what you feel. And so I should have been more honest about, like, okay, this person is so annoying. This person's been an idiot at camp and has clearly never camped before. But you keep all that, like, you're just much more reserved. And I feel like you let loose more once you've been on the show more.
I totally agree with that as well. Because, it's also weird being filmed, like, 24/7 for the first time ever. And it's like, oh, I don't want to seem like an idiot when I get home. And that one is something that's incorrect. Like, you want to know which way the votes are going as well. Like, you don't want to be against the votes. Otherwise, you look like an idiot. And you're like, shoot, I got to be, like, looking smart on TV. Yeah. But, like, they're the less and less you care.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of, like, great confessions and lines, I got two lines from this week. One, I'll start with Rob. Rob has the great moment in this episode where he's having a conversation with Aaron. and he doesn't know what's going to happen. And then he just looks at the camera after Aaron leaves and he says, "Stay tuned." And then it cuts to a commercial. It was so good.
Do you have enough?
Number
Did you have two of them or just one of them?
Yeah, yeah. Number two was the most relatable line for me in the entire episode when Joe says, "I haven't seen clock management this bad since the last Steelers game I watched." And I'm a Steelers fan, and I'm like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Mike Tomlin should not be coaching this team anymore.
I missed that one. I didn't pick up on that comment. So
I loved what you did last week, which was the one from the movie. I can't think of it. It's the poison, swapping the poison around.
Princess Bride.
Thank you, Bergie. I made that comment last week, and Jack's like, "The Princess Bride. I don't know that one." I'm like, "Jack, it's a classic." Yep.
I know it. I just couldn't think of the movie title.
Yes.
I didn't know the reference. I missed it. But there was a Spider-Man reference this week.
Oh, there was one way back in the beginning too. Aaron said the first time he saw Joe, he was like, "Oh, I feel like I'm in Spider-Man now because he's Flash, the guy that punches the first movie."
Yep.
This week it was, "With great power comes great responsibility." Who said that? The question was, are you powerful? That was our question this week.
But who said that? With great power comes great responsibility.
Joe said it, and he said something like, "Oh, that sounds familiar. I feel like I've heard that before," or something like that. Joe's a great host. He's really good at this.
Honestly, he's entertaining. Like the way he did the Princess Bride last week and just went full into it too, or like opening the cases, like, "Oh, that's that college I went to," like whatever. Like,
oh yeah, the Carnegie Mellon, and then. Nick who was like, "I haven't heard of that." Yeah. No, my favorite Joe quote from this week, I think when Rob asked him something about the iced tea, and in honor of that, I have my iced tea today. Bergie. Cheers. So anyway, Joe said, he goes, "I don't make the iced tea, I'm the game maker." It was a good one.
That was a good one. All right, I want to get your thoughts on this episode, Bergie. I want to know, first and foremost, are you buying what Aaron said, that he was, in fact, going to take Stephanie out? Do you think that could be revisionist history?
I do think there's definitely revisionist history with a lot of people, but I don't think Aaron could take out Boston Rob. Just, like, the whole relationship aspect, I think it was still too soon to take out Boston Rob for Aaron if he did win. I could see him taking on Stephanie and then maybe going for Rob. Because I think a lot of people, too, because Amy got the least amount of, what was it, marbles? Hers.
Balls, yeah.
Hoopa balls, whatever they were, into hers. And I think people are thinking for that. Stop laughing. I think people are thinking towards the end game where they have to face off maybe one-on-one challenge. We don't know what the ending challenge is, and I bet they have no idea what the ending challenge is for them either, if it's going to be the final four challenge, the final three challenge, you know, like, or is it just one-on-one? And I think people are thinking long-term, like, who do I want to be up against for that final challenge? Do I want Amy or do I want Boston Rob? Do I want Stephanie there? And I think it's going to come down to Amy and someone else.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this final, you know, plays out. I'm really curious because, you know, it's the first time they've done this. So we have no way of knowing how they're planning to, like, do the next step. And do we get to find out who the banker is? That's what I'm super curious.
I think it's Howie Mandel. There's no way.
It's got to be Howie.
What are some other
suggestions? Who else could it be if it's not Howie? If we got any fun suggestions of who the banker could be? Miranda said Trump.
Yeah,
that's a funny one.
I still like that one. It's just be ironic in this in this climate.
Yeah, there's no way if they bring anybody else out and it's not Howie Mandel, I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed and just be upset.
What about Jeff Probst? That would be good.
Bring out Alan Cummings in a Traitors outfit. Congratulations. Your prize is going on Traitors season 3.
What if it's the whole evil alliance of reality show hosts? You just have several of them. It's not just one banker. That's the twist.
What if it's just someone super random, like William Shatner, or just some famous actor.
Yep.
Who
yeah, no, my money's on Howie.
Playing a banker in a movie. If we're casting a movie, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck.
I'm thinking of like a villain. Like it's got
Leonardo
like,
DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Yeah, I see Leonardo DiCaprio being one. I'm trying to think.
He would be a great banker. Oh my gosh. He would come off the yacht and yeah, he's the character for Wolf of Wall Street.
I'm trying to think. Favorite villains. And I'm just drawing blanks. I can't.
All right. That's cool. Yeah, we'll find out who it looks like it's gonna be next week. We find out. We got Final Four. My question to you, Brooke, is Aaron made a comment in the exit interview, which I responded to when we were talking. He said, it may not have been the best move, but I would have taken out Stephanie and I would have kept Rob. And I was like, I mean, are we sure that that actually would be a bad move if he took Stephanie out? Like, what do you think the best move for Aaron's game to make here would be if he had one?
Honestly, if it comes down to an excursion and the four of them and who gets out, I don't think I'd want to play against Boston Rob. He's just done too many different types of challenges after the million times he's played Survivor. You know, he's done, you know, the mental game, the physical game. And so that's the part where I just think that I wouldn't, if I had to pick people that I was playing an excursion against, it would not be Rob.
I think it would benefit his social game if he got rid of Stephanie. And then maybe after that, he got Rob out after that. Because then, you know, he's got Amy. Who's the other person? I can't think of her name.
Jordan.
And he's got Amy and Jordan for the final three. And I think Amy brought this up way early in the season. Like, if I have to go up against anybody for the final two, I want it to be Aaron. Because we're like the same body type and could probably compete against each other. And I think that's same what goes with Aaron. He needs Amy in the final two.
Yeah. No, I think that would be the ideal for Aaron. I think the thing with Boston Rob is how many opportunities have there been to get him out because of the immunities? So that's why I was like, this is his time to get Rob out and there may not be another. So I think for Aaron, that might have been the most strategic. And then thinking in the Survivor way of things, if you have to justify to everybody, you know, you always want to say, I made big power moves. It's like, hey, I axed Rob, but not that they take that into account on this.
Yeah. Saying that there's no jury. But
yes.
I also think maybe that is a good move for him because who would Stephanie want to get out next? Probably Jordan. Like she probably wants to get a good competitor out. She wouldn't be worried about Aaron because Aaron's now, he lost his caretaker in a way. And then Amy's kind of on her own. And then Jordan's on her own. Like it's a free for all at that point.
So we're pretty much agreed that everybody would want Aaron and Amy in the final to go up against, like that's everybody's ideal for.
Well, I could see the why to Aaron. He could perceive it as like, I don't think it's a bad move if he takes Stephanie out because the way that I look at it is Rob has kept him like, Rob offers a lot of protection to Aaron just to get to the end. So if Rob's out, he could very well be the next person teamed up on. The girls team up and get him out. He's probably not going to, like we're talking about, like he's not a big challenge threat. So if he goes with Rob, Rob's going to keep me safe. I have the greatest chance of just getting to the final two, and then we'll figure it out from there. Like it's definitely riskier to take the shot at Rob, and I think it's a much better move for someone like, let's just say it's Dawson, like who's just kind of like a solid challenge competitor, or obviously Nick, who's like, okay, Rob's out of the way, I can win these challenges now. But I mean, there's no certainty that Aaron's going to win any of these challenges. So I could see why he would think, all right, well, let's just stick with Rob. He's keeping me safe, and that's the best path for me to at least get to the end.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that one. I think it would be better for him to keep Rob for one more round.
Yeah.
And you'd have to cut him. I think get rid of Stephanie, and then I have to go up against Jordan and Amy. Like, yeah. Get rid of Stephanie, get rid of Rob, and then let me face off Jordan and Amy.
Yeah, no, Rob ever offers that level of protection to Aaron. And, you know, we've seen it time and time again where Rob's even sacrificed sometimes when they were doing that, following the rope through the jungle. And he's like, Aaron, take this case. Like, get up, start moving, stay alive. So So at the end of it, what'd you guys think of like everybody getting teary eyed over Aaron leaving and all the touching comments that everybody said? I thought that was pretty sweet. Like, cause we've had a couple of the ending episodes where it's everyone shouting and fighting. And this time it was like, oh, everybody likes Aaron. Like everybody's sad. So.
I'm going to be completely honest. I've done two reality TV shows and I've never felt sad when somebody's left because it's like, oh, you in like 10 days when the show's over. I'm not like sad.
Yeah. No, for me, I'm like, okay, just went from a 1 in 16 chance of winning $1 million to 1 in 15. So peace out.
Yeah. Like I've never been like people treat it sometimes like they're dying. I'm like, guys, you could call them in 10 days. No, it's not.
I do want to note that Stephanie went on Twitter Spaces last night with Kim and like there were a lot of comments today that was like, I can't believe Stephanie was the only person who didn't give him a hug. And she said, no, I gave him a very nice hug. And I said like, goodbye, Aaron, but this is the way they're editing the show.
Yeah.
As you're talking about Bergy, this is the, it's either, you know, this is the big roadblock from Rob winning. Rob is, you know, the thing with Rob is first and foremost, he's the main character. Going into this show, he had the most celebrity out of anybody. Claudia was also a known name from doing some other shows, doing original Deal or No Deal, doing a Celebrity Apprentice. But, I mean, how many people are watching or gave the show a chance because Rob was on it? A lot of us. Yes, all of us. So that was great. You guys' hands went up at the same time. That was excellent. So, like, first and foremost, he's going to be the main character regardless. He's a big, huge draw. Maybe the greatest draw of anybody from reality TV ever. Like, in terms of that icon status. But the other thing is, it looks like Rob's going to win. So he's also getting a winner edit. So therefore, if you're opposing Rob, your edit is going to probably be villainous. The bad guys don't win. Rob's the good guy in this instance. Rob's going to win. I'm calling it.
I think it's between him and Jordan. I think they're the final two. If you want me to take a guess, it's Jordan and him in the final two.
Yeah, I definitely think Rob's getting the winner edit this whole time. So, and it's one where I love watching Rob, but at the same time, I'm like, you've had your time on reality TV. Let someone else, I mean, not let someone else win, but someone else should win, like deserves to win. It's interesting though. I kind of wonder, I like Jordan too. I mean, I like everybody that's left, but I'm kind of wondering if Rob is going to try and take Amy to the end and, you know, to feel like he can beat her versus someone else. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then what was my other thing too? I just had it. Now I lost it. Shoot. Sorry, it's not going to come back. We got to keep talking.
I think that we're set up very well because now with Aaron out of the picture, it doesn't feel like there are really many alliances. Like Rob's going to be number one on the chopping block by everybody. So it's kind of Rob versus everybody. Jordan, he says in this episode, she's up from 0% to 1.5%.
I know.
Amy's at 0%. Stephanie's at negative infinity.
Yeah.
In terms of who he trusts.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember too now what we were talking about. So like the winner's edit. Yeah. Like Boston Rob definitely has a winner's edit. But I also think Jordan has a winner's edit. The people that don't have a winner's edit is Amy and Stephanie. Because, like, looking back on Traitors, like, I knew who won. Like, I knew Trishelle and CT won. So anytime they were on screen, I was like, there was always great edits. Like, they never had a bad edit in Traitors Season 2. And I was just watching it, and I was going, yeah, they have the winners edit right now. Because, like, there was times where I was like, whoa. And then I was just like, the night I got murdered, they focused solely on Trishelle and CT when we got back to the castle. There was nothing before I left the castle, it was all Trishelle and CT because they were the winners of the show.
It was, yeah, I agree with you. I think that I can't see a situation in which Stephanie or Amy wins based off of edit. And you know what? It's been really sad to see how hateful and nasty some of the comments have been because, like, we posted the episode that we did with Amy a few days ago, and I saw so many comments that were like, she is such a vile, disgusting, nasty person. And I'm like, I'm just not seeing that. Just because she called like Rob and Aaron dumb and dumber, which is just a silly comment that Rob has called Dawson a moron. And like, I'm not seeing villain behavior from Amy. We just got the scene of the Night Owls where they're kind of laughing and they're talking. And Jordan says that they're, you know, very catty. That's pretty much all we've seen. I have not seen anything disgusting or vile or gross from Amy, who seems to me like a very sweet mom from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she's just playing the game. I mean, that's it. We've seen so much worse out of people competing on reality shows, and cattiness doesn't rise to the level of like people sending hate messages on social media and things. I just think that's uncalled for and just outside of the scope of this. She wasn't. Yeah, I'm shocked at, you know, how much people have kind of lashed out against her, yeah, based on what we've seen on the show.
Yeah. And I think no matter what, people are going to deal with hate comments, but I see Stephanie and Amy getting the worst of it right now. And I'm just like, guys, it's a TV show. They're, you know, they're getting filmed 24 hours a day. You might get to see that 3-minute part of their day when they're saying something like just not even thinking about it. And now you're seeing that. Now you're thinking that's their whole personality.
Yeah. And that's a good point too. Oh, sorry. I was gonna say, it's a good point too. Like if you think about if someone had a camera on you all day and someone chose like the 1 minute of your day where you were kind of a jerk because you were having a bad moment, but you could have been like great the rest of the day and volunteered for a charity or done whatever. But like, and that's what people don't realize is there's so much of the edit determines how people think of someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause like people on reality, that's not them. That's maybe like 1% of their personality, and that's all they're gonna show being filmed. Like you never know what side of you when you go on reality TV what they're gonna show.
Yeah.
Bergie, have you talked to anyone from the season one cast of Dondi?
I've talked to Aaron as the only person I've really talked to. So
I will just reach out one day on Instagram, you just send him a message.
What I reposted him and Boston Rob having a conversation of like an episode 2 weeks ago. It was like when Rob's like, you know, I'm playing this game, but I'm also like looking out for people. There's more to this game than just winning the money at the end of it. And so I shared that and said, I love this relationship. One of the reasons I'm watching the show right now. And then Aaron saw that and he's like, dude, I loved watching you on Traders. And we just had like a little side conversation about like anxiety on shows and stuff like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's awesome. Hey, what would you say, speaking of Traders, how does this show like compare to Traders? Are there certain things that you notice that are similar to Traders?
Yeah, I think the eliminations are kind of random. Like nobody has control of the eliminations. Like it's kind of like Traders, like you can get murdered at any point and have no control of it. You can have like a say in the banishments if you're a faithful, but you have no control. If you're a traitor, like the only opportunity you have as a faithful is to get a shield, which is kind of like the case Deal or No Deal Island, like you have to get the highest immunity case. But other than that, like you have no control when you're not getting that shield, like of if you're going to be eliminated or not. Like you could have everyone else on the cast like you and have one person not like you and you're going to get eliminated because of it. Like you could have the best social game, but as long as one person doesn't like you and they end up winning Deal or No Deal, like you're gone. And that's how traitors could be. Like you could survive every round table, but if you have one person that's a traitor not liking you, you're gone. You know? So.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of control, and that's what's hard. Like, you know, in Survivor, people can scramble to make alliances because it's a lot of people voting. And here you just have one person that can give you the axe.
Mhm. Yeah, which if I ever do a reality TV show again, obviously I'd love to do Deal or No Deal Island or Traitors, but I would love to do something where I feel like I have control, a little bit more control of the game, like Survivor or Big Brother. Obviously, if I did Traitors and I was a traitor, I have full control, but I would love to do like Survivor or Big Brother where everybody has an equal amount of control of what's going on.
I always liked Amazing Race because it's like, if you cross the finish line first for that day, you're in the game. Like that's one where I was like, see, it's not on anybody else, whether they don't like you.
That's like, if they could change anything about that game or Deal or No Deal Island, I don't know how they would. because I'm not a game maker, but I could come up with like my fan theories of like how to make the game better. But I'd love
for let's hear it.
Well, I need more time. Maybe next time you have me on the podcast.
Okay. Theory. But, sounds good.
You know, just, you know, whoever gets the lowest case then during the excursion is eliminated. But like, then it's just the challenge. It's got to be like social game mixed with maybe do it like this. So like every case has a value, right? And you can work with people to vote out somebody. If your value is higher than those people, you get to choose your vote. So like you can make an alliance with people and have one value to eliminate a player. How about that? So like, Jack, you have the $2.5 million case. I have the $500,000 case. We could now spend $3 million to eliminate a player. And then let's say Brooke has a case. She finds someone else that has a case, and they have someone else that has a case. They make $4 million, and they vote to eliminate me. They eliminate me. So like that way, you're making alliances, and you have to work hard in the excursion to eliminate someone. How about that? That's like a theory I just came up with in 30 seconds, and that's more balanced than what they have at going against the banker.
I like it. I'm impressed. I like the strategic part thrown in so that there's more of a, you have a little bit more control over whether you go out or not, rather than just being like, cause we know Rob, like if he doesn't get immunity, he's just out and there's no other, like he really doesn't have another option to stay in the game. And so that's been, yeah, that would be a fun way to play it. Maybe next season we'll see it.
It would add a new wrinkle. You kind of, I feel like with this show, it's going to be good to kind of change the format a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't do it immediately in season two, but I mean, that I think that's a really fun idea.
Well, and that was when I came up in 30 seconds. Imagine what I had 6 months to make a show like that. That the physical aspect of the challenge and the social game of the game.
Lobbying Joe to let you in on this.
I'd love to do a production, like create a game show. I'd love to do it.
Brooke, anything else here?
Nope. Just can't wait to watch the next episode and see where things go. Cause now it's hard to know what the format's going to be, you know, how they're going to handle stuff. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see how the final two, how they get, you know, do you just have a challenge or how's that going to work? Do they both get to play Deal or No Deal Island? It'll be real interesting to see. I want everyone to make a prediction for next week. Who goes out next week?
I think Stephanie. It's got to be Stephanie or Boston Rob, and Boston Rob has the winner's edit. And there's two episodes left, right?
Yeah.
And that last episode's going to be the final three, and I think that's going to be Amy, Boston Rob, and Jordan.
Yeah, I think...
What do you think?
Yeah, I think Stephanie's the one that's going to be on the chopping block this week. I think that's who it's going to be. How about you?
Well, I think Stephanie too, but I'm also kind of like, how many lives does she have? Because last week I'm like, okay, they're building this up. Stephanie's going to go out. And I did not see this whole thing with Aaron coming aside from the promos. Cause I thought we were going to see Aaron and Rob getting there to the end together. But now it's like, Rob's going to have to win one for Aaron. And I also want to say, I thought that part of the edit last night was a setup for us to root for Rob. So like, again, Rob's getting this winner edit. So how do you make someone like feel happy that Aaron goes out? You make it look like Aaron's going to get Rob out. So it's really weird because there are so many people today I'm seeing in the comments who are big Aaron fans all season. And now they're like hating on Aaron, and like Aaron's saying in the interviews, like, no, I was with Rob till the end. So guys, it's just an edited TV show. It's a silly show. Like, we don't have to pile on to anybody.
Yeah, and you don't have to attack someone for how they are on TV. That's not their real personality. Like, that's the thing. Imagine you're watching a character on TV. Like, you're not going after the actor of Thanos for killing off the planet.
Yes.
Don't go attack someone because you saw them do one thing on TV. Because that's not how they are.
But as far as a silly little game, we've got millions on the line here. That's the one thing that's crazy to me. Like, just last, like watching the episode, I was like, I can't believe how much money someone is going to win in this. That's the part that's like just nuts. What do we think the final pot's going to be?
What's it right now?
It's like 10 million, 10,
I think. Yeah, I think
20 million. Like,
I know they just hit 10. It's crazy.
I'm gonna say 15 million, and I think it's going to the final person's gonna win 4.5 million. That's my guess.
That sounds like a reasonable amount.
Survivor's been 1 million for 20 plus years.
Yeah, now you're going to see
no increase for inflation.
The applicant pool, like, all of a sudden just goes so down for Survivor.
Yes.
We got to up the prize now.
Yeah. You get food, you get tents, and you can win millions. Yes. I know. It's actually one. I was thinking of Naked and Afraid. I'm like, you have to be naked. It's cold, it's horrible, and you win like nothing.
You get to be on TV.
Yes. Right,
we got to wrap things up here. So, Bergie, you got a YouTube channel. I want people to follow and subscribe to your YouTube channel. What can people expect over there? What you working on?
Oh, my gosh. So we got Traders Q&A. We got Love Island Q&A. They're doing recaps of the shows I was on, like Love Island. They'll do like an episode. This is what I was thinking in this moment. This is what I was doing in this moment. Just kind of explaining everything that was going on in my head. And then I also want to do like content with my girlfriend and probably just more Q&As and just keep you guys up.
Teddy Bear Collection.
What's that?
Teddy Bear Collection.
That was the last one I did. I showed off my teddy bear collection because everybody loved seeing sleeping in the castle with my teddy bear.
This is something I did not know about you, Bergie.
How many teddy bears do you own?
Probably 8 or 9.
And then, that's awesome.
Even better. But I only showed 3 in my YouTube video. I got more content, so I need to just to keep people watching.
Slow reveal on the teddy bears.
Yeah. Maybe an episode, like a weekly episode. Here's the new teddy bear this week.
That's awesome.
We're gonna link to that here in the show notes on YouTube, so you guys can easily click on that. But if people are not watching us on YouTube, what's the YouTube channel called? What's the link?
Bergielicious 35. Like, it's pretty easy.
Bergielicious 35. Anything else, Bergie?
Not today, but thank you so much for having me on. I enjoy talking about it. Maybe they'll implement my strategy of like excursion/social game. I'd love to see that.
Hopefully. Thank you so much, Bergie. It was great having you on. And Twitter and Instagram, you want to throw those out there too?
I think everything's Bergalicious35.
Bergalicious35. He's Bergalicious35. Bergie, thank you so much for your time today. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Bergie.
All right, Brooke, that was fun. We gotta wrap things up. Anything else before we go?
Nope. The countdown. 2 episodes left. Can't wait.
2 episodes left. Well, we look forward to having you guys back next week. We'll have more content. Brooke and I will be back. Maybe a special guest appearance from Brooke's son, perhaps?
Yes, he's an avid Deal or No Deal Island fan. He's loved it, and he's got great commentary. He watches every episode with me.
So we could have a special guest next week. We'll see. Make sure that you guys are all subscribed to the channel. It is here at the Jack Vita Show. We've got our exit interviews. Next up is Deal or No Deal Island Insiders with Miranda and Nick. It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys are not going to want to miss out on that. So until next time, I'm Jack Vita. Bring in the dancing lobsters.